You're listening to Minds of Forestry by Tyler Dennis. Welcome back to another episode of Minds of Forestry, everyone. So today's episode is called Field Tips and Tricks. Essentially, what I'm going to be talking about today is just general field work and some tricks and tips to go in, like, mindset-wise. So that way, if you end up in a situation in the field or in the bush, then you have kind of an idea what to expect. I mean, these aren't things that are just going to be, like, quick, easy, like, you're going to get out every time. It's a matter of situational awareness, and I think it's good to sit down and just discuss some of the field tips and tricks that I have on my current job, and generally, we're just going to get right into it. So, the general field work I do, as I've explained before, is mostly boundary layout, timber reconnaissance, timber cruising, and I do brush pile burning. And then on the other end of things, I do electrofishing, but that's on an environmental side. But I also do stream classifications within forestry as well. So some of the tips that I'm going to give are based around my general work. So day to day in the field, just kind of not doing anything too specific. And I guess we're just going to start out with dressing appropriately. And that's a big thing when you go out to the field, when it starts dipping down in temperature, everyone thinks that they have to dress in 4 to 5 layers to stay warm. Well, if you haven't noticed, whenever you dress in extreme layers like that, you tend to sweat. And sweating can kill you whenever it's cold out. That's just a basic survival tip, is that sweating in the cold will kill you. And you want to minimize that as much as you can. So myself, I wear a layer of 2 to 3 pairs of clothing. I wear 2 pairs of socks. I wear long johns and a pair of insulated pants. And then my upper body, I wear a t-shirt, a long sleeve, and then a appropriately light or heavy hoodie, depending on what the temperature is outside. Now, I know I should get into, like, what kind of hoodies they are, like what textures or what their make is, like polyester, wool, cotton, stuff like that. I really don't consider important, but if you're gonna use this as a general guide, I would consider doing wool. Wool keeps in heat even when it's wet, so that is something to consider. So since we talked a bit about how to dress, I mean, you have to also consider sled rides or ATV quad rides for extended periods of time. Because if you're ending up in an area that it's cold, it's, let's say, because we're dealing with northern British Columbia, it's everything is in Celsius up here. And ideally, you want to dress for the wind chill as well. So it kind of gets difficult because you have to think about things around wind. Wind can come from via the sled or the quad ride. It can be coming naturally because of natural wind. And so I would always suggest to have a heavy set pair of gloves, a nice jacket, a full face helmet, just something to keep the wind off of you. Because when you get cold or chilled, that's where it gets difficult because you have to warm up to stay warm. So for myself, when I'm only wearing the 2 to 3 layers, I'm basing my layers off of my day-to-day work. If I'm moving through the bush at an extended pace, those layers are going to be comfortable enough. But if it's colder out, let's say -5 to -10, those 2 to 3 layers might not be sufficient enough just to keep me warm when I'm standing still. And it kind of really comes down to a point of comfortability when you're dressing for the bush. I mean, some common situations are just cold weather, or you might end up breaking down somewhere, or the quad or the sled breaks down, and you have to continuously stay warm because you're not able to get back to your work truck. And or if you're staying out in a camp or a cabin somewhere, you're not able to get back. So some tips on that. Just always pack like a lighter. Lighter, some I this is essential, some toilet paper. I mean, you can make a fire with just about anything, but ideally you want a lighter, a ferro rod, some toilet paper, birch bark, like stuff like that is generally ideal to have just on hand in a little pouch in your vest, in your jacket. I always pack mine in my vest. It's just in a little like a Ziploc bag. And you never know when you're gonna need it, because sometimes when I'm out in the field, even when we're continuously working, I have to sit down for lunch, and it's nice just to have a bit of a fire, just to kind of keep your toes and your hands warm. And I mean, generally, it takes longer to get a fire going than you need, but it never hurts to just have a little bit of warmth. So when you're if you're stranded because of a an ATV broke down or a sled broke down, that's where dressing in those layers is important. And keeping a spare set of clothing at the sled or the quad in a dry bag helps, because it just if you go out and it's a soaking wet day on the quad, like in the summertime or the spring, and you're going to be there for a while, you don't want to be sitting in wet clothing. And that's just ideally a big thing, because in the wintertime, everything's just cold. Everything's frozen and cold. And on those sunny days, when the snow's melting off the trees, the ice, you're going to get wet too. And then on the way out on your sled, that's kind of where you get chilled. You get right to the bone chilled. And that's never good either. So ideally, that's a big tip, is packing something spare at the sleds, at the quad. And that's just not even just for field work. Generally speaking, when I'm out hunting or fishing, I do pack a spare set of clothes, a lighter, something to start a fire with in a pinch, because you never know when the unexpected is going to happen. And I mean, it kind of it, you have to play it at a day-to-day basis. You can't just go into every day thinking that it's going to be the same. And I mean, one day it might be plus 10, the next day it could be minus 5. You never know what the circumstances are going to be, so it never hurts to A, check the forecast, but B, always be prepared. Bring something extra, bring extra food, just granola bars or something easy to snack on. You don't need to pack like 8 sandwiches. The weight. It's a weight game too, right? Like if you're packing extra stuff in your vest or in your pack, you're gonna weigh yourself down. You're gonna use up that much more energy that you can be using for other things. But a big tip, if you're needing to start a fire and you're cold, chop wood. Chop lots of wood, get yourself warm, and then once you get enough dry wood, that's when you should start lighting your fire. Don't light your fire and then start chopping wood, because you're just gonna continue being chilled, and that's not a good situation whenever you're sitting there trying to start your fire when you're chilled, because you're essentially lessening your body heat, and that's never fun. We're gonna get into a bit about winter clothing and winter dressing. So ideally, when you're getting in to winter, you're thinking about sledding, so snowmobiles, cold, like minus 30 temperatures. Sometimes we get minus 30 up here in northern BC, but throughout the workday, it kind of dips in between minus 20 to minus 25. And ideally, you're just going to want to continue dressing in that 2 to 3 layer range, but enhancing your layers into AKA wool. Like I said earlier, wool is kind of your basis for staying warm even while it's wet. And I mean, gloves, that's your biggest thing. Keeping your hands warm, wearing a toque. Like you lose most of your heat from your head, your hands, and your feet. I mean, yeah, you think your body generates the most heat, but if you can't keep your your points of loss to a minimum, so like your feet, if you wear any more than two layers on your feet, there's not enough space to heat around your feet. And that's why they continue to be cold, because your socks insulate the cold around your feet. And then same with your hands. If you're wearing two layers or three layers around your hands, again, it's the same concept. You're not able to heat the space around your fingers, and so it's isolating and insulating the cold within your gloves. That's not fun when you get cold fingers, and I know I have poor circulation in my fingers. But coming to your head, that's a big thing. Hats, toques, stuff like that. That's generally your best line of defense against the cold within the wintertime. Getting into sledding season, I mean, everyone thinks they can just hop on the sled and go. But there's some... I'm not going to get into too much about sledding, because everyone, I'm sure, has their own experiences with snow machines. But for myself, when I'm solo sledding in the field, I just like to kind of sit back and keep at a nice steady pace, making sure that I'm doing efficient speed, so that way I'm able to get to work, but I'm not freezing myself. And that's a big tip as well, is just when you're going in and out of the bush, do comfortable speeds for temperature regulation. Doing mock chicken through the bush in the wintertime on a sled, you're going to get cold. The same thing in the winter, or the fall and the early spring. You're doing mock chicken down the road, and you're going to get a little bit of a chill. And then, of course, you hope the truck warms up fast. But most of the time, all the trucks are diesels anymore. But I think they're switching that. So, I mean, it's just due diligence, right? Common sense. Keep yourself warm. Stay safe. And that's generally all that I can really talk about when it comes to that basis on general forestry stuff. I'm going to get into a bit of maybe some electrofishing and like my stream restoration. Not restoration, but my stream classification. How I dress for that compared to how I dress for just general field work. And I mean, I do dress a bit differently, but I mean, I keep the same premise, and I'm going to get into that very shortly here. When it comes to packing stuff in the field, it's always generally known to pack light. Never be afraid to pack that one extra thing. Like if it's an extra pound, yeah, do consider like what can you drop and whatnot. But I mean, you never know what you're going to need. So if you think you're going to need it, I would bring it just in case. But I mean, if it's like pointless things, I don't really know. I can't deem anything pointless, because everyone has their own priority lists. Coming right down to it, when I'm packing for stream classifications, I'm packing pretty light, honestly. Like I'm not packing heavy gear. I'm making sure that if at any point I end up falling into a stream, I'm not going to be weighted down. Same with snowshoeing and or when I'm in the forest in the summertime. If I'm packing really heavy gear and I fall down into an area that I might not be able to get out of, or I might throw my back out, I just generally try and pack light. Keep things minimal. Pack what's needed. I don't go beyond that. I mean, it's tough to really prioritize what's needed and what's not needed in the field, because everyone packs kind of a different thing. I think maybe one day I will go through and identify some of the things that I pack on myself or on my person when I'm in the field, whether that be on my vest, in my backpack when I'm hunting, or in a tackle box, or my backpack when I'm out fishing. So stuff like that, I mean, leave it up to your own discretion and play it by ear. Base it off what you know. Base it off your knowledge. Anything that I say in these podcasts, don't take it to heart. Don't think that what I'm saying is like the baseline for anything. You have to go with your own instinct, go with your own gut, and basically trust yourself. If you're not sure what you need, ask a friend, ask a parent, ask a person of authority in your life and see what their opinions are. I'm evolving around what I pack in the field when I talk to my dad, my friends or other coworkers. I'm always revolving and evolving around a basis of what's needed and what isn't needed. And that's ideally what I just want to kind of get right down into kind of the nitty gritty one day, but I won't get to go to too much depth in this episode. It's just kind of like your field tips and tricks. And I mean, there's probably way more tips and tricks that I can give you. So there might end up being a couple segments where it's like field tips and tricks two, three, or like however many. And if you guys listening, you want me to discuss something, don't be afraid to message me. Don't be afraid to reach out. I'm going to be making up a socials for this podcast, and I think we'll go from there. I just want to thank all of you for tuning into this week's episode of Minds of Forestry. And I really do hope that this continues, and I hope you're enjoying the content so far. Be prepared for me to start posting or post an episode and or segment with some of my socials, so that way we can connect, we can get some ideas flowing, maybe even have a couple people on as guests if you're in the line of work. Essentially, I just kind of want to sit down and do some interviews with people in forestry and the surrounding environment and get some ideas, get other people's ideas, and just coming together as a collective and do some joint ventures. So again, thank you so much. I have been your host here, Tyler Dennis, and you are listening to Minds of Forestry.